it's all in.
Edward George Ruddy died today. Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble. So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network? So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Welcome to episode 30 of Cinema Crespo Diso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, film critic, writer, podcast host. Because I guess that's a... Been doing a...
Bear hunter. Come on. Something masculine.
Bear hunter.
You're a bear hunter. You can hunt bears if you want.
Not really.
Yeah, why not? Come on. I can see you maybe hunting a bear. Give you a gun, put you out in the wilderness, see what happens. His name was
Kane. That's the voice of Juicy Cogburn. How's it going, Drew?
What's up, man?
Yeah, not much of a hunter. I'm a hunter of ice cream.
All right, there we go. Hunter of ice cream.
Delicious beers.
That works. Ice cream really doesn't put up much of a fight, but...
No, it doesn't. Well, yeah, that's the point. That is the point. So welcome to episode 30, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We got so much to do and so little time. So let's just jump into the Netflix pick of the week. Drew, I know you got the Crespo Diso Randomizer 9000 right there. Give it a good shake. Give it a good shake. Give it a good shake. And here we go. Drew's gonna pull one out. We do a different pick every week. If this is your first time listening to Cinema Crespo Diso, thanks for sticking past that awkward intro. And seeing what we got, what we have on store for you. Here we go. Every week we do a different Netflix pick. Drew has to verify whether or not it's still on there, because I threw all these movies in this bag forever ago, and now it's like, I don't even know what's in there.
Dude, this is high technology. This is one gigantic machine that we have. It takes up like 3 floors.
It does.
I mean, good lord.
The electricity bill's pretty crazy.
It is.
So we got a thumbs up from the Juicy Cogburn. What is this week's Netflix instant pick?
End of Watch.
Ooh, a recent one.
Recent, yes, 2012.
But a good one, End of Watch. I liked it. Did you see it?
Yeah. I saw it on the Netflix. Not on the Netflix, on the Redbox.
So on the Redbox. So it's on the, maybe it's still there on the Redbox, people. We can check it there, too.
Could be.
I got the little description there. Read it for the people.
Officers Taylor and Zavala patrol the streets of South Central Los Angeles, an area of the city ruled by gangs and riddled with drug violence.
This is written and directed by the guy who wrote Training Day, and he also, what's that Christian Bale movie with Michael Pena, I think, they were in LA, and he was trying to get on the force, he was like an ex-army dude, you remember this one?
Oh.
It all took place in one day, maybe it wasn't Michael Pena, anyway, David Ayers is the guy's, Does it say there the director's name, David Ayers?
No, it does not have the...
If you click on that title, why don't you click on that title and see what happens there, buddy? Might get some more information. Or did you just start the movie? Did you start watching the movie? Screw this show. Let's just watch End of Watch.
David Ayers.
It's good. It's really good. It's all kind of... I don't know why they went found footage, because that's what it... You know, the whole style is like, they recorded it as they do it. I guess they want you to feel like you're going with these LA cops on a ride-along.
Yeah.
And the whole point is, you know, empathizing with the police, because so many movies get made where the police are bad guys,
yes,
and, you know, there's crooked police and everything like
everywhere.
That. And this one's just all about, like, these are our boys in blue, and they have a hard job, they have a hard go at it, and we should... maybe we should empathize with them more, respect them more, you know? Which is, you know, that's not a common movie, you know? That's not a normal tact that people go when they write movies that involve police and LAPD, you know? Usually it's corruption and this and that and police beatings and racism. And this one's like, no, they're just normal people doing a job. That's a very hard one. The one that could result in death.
Yes, very quickly.
So it's good. Well acted. Well done. The found footage thing, you know, angle, I think it's a little unnecessary, but, you know, whatever. Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. I think it would have been fine if they had done it, presented it normally, you know.
Yeah, but then it would have just been another cop movie.
No, it still would have been a cop movie where the cops are 100% good guys. You know?
Yeah.
That's not very, like I said, kind of rare. We're recording this a little early, so we don't have full weekend estimates yet, but we do have the Friday estimates, right, Drew?
That is correct.
These are from the Box Office Mojo. So we'll do the Friday estimates, and maybe I'll see if I can predict what the full weekend's going to be. All right, so what we got?
All right. Oh, where did it go?
There, it is raining. Did the storm knock it out?
No. Here we go.
Last week when you were gone, we'll talk about where you were in the second half of the show. Last week when you were gone... we recorded during a storm.
Uh-huh.
Totally lost internet. We didn't lose power.
Just lost the internet.
We lost the internet.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. How did that work out?
You know, we're just flying by the seat of our pants, yo. Yeah. We can still record. So uh-huh. It's good stuff.
Awesome.
So,
all right. Number five this week, we have Despicable Me. Had a Friday estimate of $3.1 million. Total estimate of $319.4.
So at $3 million, I figure it's going to make like $7, $8 million for the whole weekend. And at $372 million international, it's at $692 right now worldwide. By the end of the weekend, it should be at $700 million worldwide.
Good lord. Steve Carell made a lot of money doing this.
Only a $76 million budget, too. So, yeah, that's a lot of people are making a lot of money. And Despicable Me 3 is a happening. That's for sure. All right, what else we got?
Number four this week, we have The Conjuring. Had a Friday estimate of $4.3 million. Total estimate of just under $100 million.
So it's definitely now going to get to $100 million this weekend. And what is this, the third week it's been out?
Yeah.
Does it say how many screens? 3,000? 2,500?
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, actually, it doesn't. It wouldn't say
3,115.
Oh, it does say 3,100? That's not bad. That's a good amount of screens for this movie. On a budget of $20 million to make $100 million this quickly, obviously, they're very happy with that. So, The Conjuring 2.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Within a year and a half, it'll be here.
Awesome. Just what I always never wanted.
Who knows? It might be good. A lot of people like it. It's getting good reviews. I've heard good things. We just... Oops. Just gonna have to suck it up.
Watch it.
It's gonna be in theaters for a little while. I'd still be able to check it out. Might still throw in my 2 cents. A day late and a dollar short. I do that every now and then.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move this party.
All right. Number three party this week, we got the Smurfs 2. It had a Friday estimate of $5.5 million. Nice. Total estimate of $15.061.
All right. As everyone knows, I'm a huge fan of the Smurfs movie.
Oh, yeah. We all know you love it, Chris.
We got the posters everywhere.
You've got the giant blow-up Smurf in your bedroom.
I got the Smurf tattoos on my back, like the back piece.
Yep.
That's the whole like Smurf village. Yep.
You went and saved a cat and named it Azrael.
Yeah. And then some like crazy old man with a cane came and then tried to get it back. And I was like, be gone, Gargamel. And then he called the cops and it was a big misunderstanding.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I'm sorry about that.
Told there were little blue people running around.
I saw some. Anyway. So the Smurfs 2. The first Smurfs movie made $142 million here in America. On a $35 million opening weekend, and actually it came out almost exactly 2 years ago to the day, like the same weekend. And if it makes another $150 million, I'm sure they'll be happy. $5.5 million this weekend. It just came out on Wednesday, so that's why, you know, we had another $10 million Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
5.5 on Friday. It could have like another $30, $40 million for like 5 day run there.
Interesting.
So, good for them. I think Neil Patrick Harris is in it, getting paid.
Sure,
he's got kids. He's got kids now.
He's got
to put them through private school.
Oh yeah.
So you know, there you go. Let's move on.
All right, number two this week we have The Wolverine. Had a Friday estimate of $6.425 million. Total of $79.7 million.
$120 million budget this Wolverine had. A lot of money. It'll make its money, you know, international and whatnot.
Yep.
It'll be okay.
People like the Jagman.
It's an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
So I, you know, this movie came out last weekend. I reviewed it last weekend on episode 29. You can also go to chriscresswell.com. Check out my review there. Drew had a chance to see it.
Yes, I did.
So as the comic book expert type guy,
yes, sir,
for Cinema Crespity, so let's hear the Drew C. Cogburn review.
I enjoyed it. It was it was one of the better superhero movies I've seen. Definitely.
Okay.
Do have some criticisms.
Of course.
But, you know, that's just, you know, the way it is.
Any criticisms you can give out without going to, like, plot specifics or details or anything general? Can you generalize them?
Okay, hang on here.
Is it something they did to the character that he didn't like?
They definitely messed with the Silver Samurai character a bit.
Yeah.
It was good to see the Silver Samurai there.
I read about how.
But not, I mean, this form was a bit different.
Right.
But whatever, you know, they can do what they want. I mean,
they still used it.
Minor character, so I really don't care how bad they butchered him.
That's true. It's not a big character. I mean, he's a big character physically. But
oh yeah, yeah. But
he's not a big character.
Exactly. Right. I mean, other than that, I mean, the other things that I have the most criticisms with, it gives away plot points and whatnot, so I really can't get into it.
All right, fair enough. I guess if you want to know specifically what Drew didn't like about the Wolverine, hit him up on the Twitter at antihero419.
You can talk to me about it there, and I'll spoil it up for you.
He'll give away all the secrets on the Wolverine. He'll even give away what happens. I told some people on the direct message what happened in the post credits.
Oh, yeah. The post-credit scene is cool.
It's good. It's a nice little stinger. Fun. It sets up the next X-Men movie. I was wondering what they were going to do. But, yeah, it was very simple, but, you know, straight to the point.
Simple but effective.
Simple but effective. So you liked it then overall.
Yes.
Where would you rank it in the pantheon of X-Men movies?
I would say it's it's not quite as good as, like, X-Men First Class.
Okay.
Which I think set a pretty high bar. I think it's number one in my book.
It's a good movie. It's really good.
I'd say I'd put it maybe on par, maybe a little under the other first X-Men movie.
So you would go X-Men First Class, X-Men, and then the Wolverine?
Depending on my feeling, yeah.
Maybe like 1A and 1B on those two there, on the X-Men and the Wolverine.
It was definitely good. Definitely a one-up on the Wolverine franchise.
And then what? And then after that, X2?
Sure.
And then
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Which is worse, X-Men Origins Wolverine or X-Men The Last Stand?
It's like, which one did they butcher more?
Which one is worse?
I think they're both equally bad.
Equally bad. All
equally
right.
Terrible. Equally and bad. They're so both god awful movies.
So it's a push. It's a push on shittiness.
Yes.
For the X-Men.
Shitty A and shitty B.
Shit A and shit B. That is not the episode. The title of this episode. It will not be called Shit A and Shit B. Mine's pretty close, similar to that, my ranking. I would say X-Men First Class, again, like you said, it's definitely the best of all of them. And then I would say the Wolverine. And then X-Men 2, I remember enjoying that one more. And then X-Men, and then I would actually say X-Men Origins Wolverine is the worst of all of them. Because that's the only one where Wolverine's claws look like they came out of Roger Rabbit. Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Ching!
And they're all very cartoony, yes. And like the way they were moving, it was no good.
It was bad.
No good. Bad movie. So, all right. So you liked it. You would recommend people check it out in the theaters?
Oh, yeah. Definitely go see it in theaters.
Well, there you go. Check out the Wolverine, people.
It's a good action movie. You know, there's plenty of violence, not a lot of blood, because it's, you know, comic book stuff.
Add a little bit of digital blood and one F-bomb, you got yourself an R-rated Wolverine movie
pretty
there.
Pretty much.
They were pretty close to it.
Yeah, they were.
They got pretty close. All right, cool. So, yeah. So we all, some of the Crespo Diso fans of the Wolverine movie, it's official. Let's move on.
All right, and number one this week, we have Two Guns. Had a Friday estimate of $10 million. And whatever it gets for the rest of the weekend will be the total.
Probably.
It's the first week. So
I'll put it like 30, 35 million.
Crespo Damas has spoken.
30, 35 million. And Wolverine at 6.4 million. That would be like 18 to 22 million. So Two Guns. Denzel.
Marky Mark.
Teaming up.
Gold teeth. Silly hats.
Yeah. Gold teeth and silly hats. This movie could have been called Gold Teeth and Silly Hats. There were also sunglasses.
Yes, lots of sunglasses.
And commentary about people wearing sunglasses.
Uh-huh.
Sunglasses were kind of a big deal in this movie.
And Bill Paxton using the same line on two different people.
I was thinking about that. He tries to use the same cold-blooded little interrogation line, right?
So I'm starting to think maybe he uses that with everybody. That's like his go-to line.
That's his thing. He has it all memorized, and then he has his two bodyguards there watching him do it. I'm thinking, man, these guys have to hear him go through his speech
every
so many times.
Time.
You know why? You know what's stupid about people playing Russian roulette or whatever he's doing?
I bet the two bodyguards are just looking at each other doing one of these.
Yeah, they're thinking, like they're mouthing what he's saying in the background. Yep. Like we've heard this so many times. So it's okay. So let's talk about the movie real quick. Two Guns. It's an
dos
action
pistoles.
Movie. Dos pistoles. Dos revolvers.
Say so.
That's the only way. That's all I know. I don't know if there's guns.
Coke and Sprite.
Totally an Ebony and Ivory joke in the movie. Get nice. I wonder if that was improvised.
It could have been. Marky Mark can be funny when he wants to be.
He thinks he can be funny when he wants to be sometimes. When he's not in the scene with Will Ferrell or, you know, someone to help him make him funny. Or, you know, Seth MacFarlane. It's good. I was entertained.
It was fun enough.
I was never like, this sucks.
No? But I was never like, man, this is really awesome either.
Right. It just was.
Yeah.
At one point, I felt like, in the trailers, they talk about how Denzel is DEA. He's undercover DEA. And then they say in the trailers that Mark Wahlberg, Special Forces. They infer that he's undercover something, right? And then they reveal in the movie what it is. And I thought that was kind of a lame reveal, actually. And then there's like another Bill Paxton. His character represents another party coming into it. And when that happened, you know, I don't want to say exactly who you are, but you know what I'm talking about. When that happened, I felt like this is straight out of the 90s. You know, like the evil, you know, corporation type thing, and all the different parties coming together trying to get the same thing, and none of the characters are developed because they're all just one. Like they all want in this movie. It's what $43.125 million.
$43.125 million.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton says that a lot.
He knows exactly how much it is. Do you want to point out though? make a big deal about this $43.125 million. Like a big deal about it, right? And then later on, he's like, he tells them, we have 20 other places in the world just like this. Like, you have that much money.
Yes.
And you're going to cause this much destruction and mayhem for...
Over 5% of their total money. Insane. All that over 5%.
Insane. Are you sure? Are you right on that math?
Yeah.
I'm terrible at math. I'll just take your word for it there.
20 times 5 is 100.
I'll take your word for it, buddy. Yeah, that checks out. So, two guns, a lot of twos. There was like two this, two that, two guns, two guys, two jokes.
Two cars.
It was okay. I wouldn't run out to the theater. There are other things to see.
I definitely think it's some of Marky Mark's better work.
Yeah, he's fine.
But for Denzel, it was like a step down.
You thought he was slumming it a little?
I really thought Denzel was slumming it a bit.
He did get to do that naked scene with Paula Patton.
Which I'm sure made it completely worth it for him.
Between that and his naked scene with Nadine Velasquez in Flight, Denzel's doing pretty good for himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet he's writing that into his contracts now.
Must have naked scene with attractive younger lady.
That's how he's picking the screenplays, maybe. He's like, what's my character doing? There's a good scene with she's naked? Okay, that's good. And who's playing? Oh, Paula Patton? Okay, good, good. And she knows it's an R-rated movie, right? No, yeah, she's fine with topless.
All right.
Topless line readings. And then I was like, all right, here we go. Hey, good for him. So it was okay. Paula Patton's... does it seem topless?
Yes.
Probably the most memorable part.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everything else is in the trailers. So just watch the trailer, sneak into the movies, go see something else, sneak in, check out, how they objectify Paula Patton, and she's cool with it, I guess. And then later, I don't know, it's so stupid. It's a dumb movie. It's dumb. It's maybe Redbox it. Maybe.
Catch it on the Redbox, sure, why not?
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it was fun enough. If you're just ready for a mediocre action movie, go watch Two Guns.
Definitely not something that I would actively recommend. Like, hey, have you seen that Two Guns movie?
Yeah,
like,
no.
You got to go see it. Check it out.
I would not be saying that at all.
You're going to like that Two Guns, where they keep joking about having best donuts in the tri-state area across from a bank.
Like four times.
Or something like that.
Same joke four times.
That's another thing that made me think of 90s movies where they kept, like, one character would say something like, can you come up with a plan? Like, I can come up with a plan. And then the next day they're doing something else and the other guy's like, says the same thing. I can come up with a plan, And they throw it back. Yeah, it's like a bad Lethal Weapon fan fiction.
Yeah.
It's like what it is.
Pretty much.
But with Denzel and Mark Wahlberg.
Man. Denzel's awesome.
Denzel's great. And Mark's cool. And Bill Paxton's all right. And I think that was Ruben Blades.
He plays a pretty good scumbag.
Yeah. He's definitely good at that. Like in True Lies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, that Bill Paxton. All right, so that's Two Guns. I'll have a review of that on ChrisCrespo.com at some point eventually. Those are the hardest reviews to write, Drew.
What, the mediocre ones?
The ones where it's like, I'm just kind of ambivalent about the movie.
It's like, yeah, it was. Go see it or don't. It just, I really don't matter.
It just
matter.
Is. It just exists. It's completely forgettable. In like 5 years, people will be like, they'll stumble across the title on HBO or TV. Or like, oh, yeah, this movie. This was a movie that came out. It's, man.
Yep.
They make too many movies.
Like that.
No, just in general.
Yeah.
Too many damn movies these days. Speaking of which, a lot of big DVD releases.
Oh, what is coming out on DVD this week?
Well, the biggest one's Oblivion, Tom Cruise.
Pretty good movie.
Very pretty movie. Very pretty, very, very nice looking. It's not bad. It's cool. Mud, the Matthew McConaughey movie.
Ooh, I finally get to see that.
Definitely got
to
check that one out. With directed by the guy who did Take Shelter and Shotgun Stories. So we definitely... gotten that. To the Wonder, the latest Terrence Malick movie, which
I wonder if this one will put me to sleep too.
Probably quicker than Tree of Life.
Man,
that's the word.
Man. Tree of Life. I gave it a good 45 minutes, and then I woke up and the credits were rolling.
And then the credits were rolling. Well, that was like 2.5 hours later. To the Wonders, probably a lot more of the a lot of wistful looking off in the fields, wheat fields, and
yes,
blowing in the breeze,
looking into the distance,
and
fair haired children,
right.
Swings.
Ben Affleck, Rachel McAdams.
Butterflies.
Javier Bardem as a priest. Antiviral is Brandon Cronenberg's movie, Son of David.
Oh, interesting.
And it's a movie where it's like a world where you can get people's, like, specific people's diseases. So there's a subculture where, like, say you, Drew, say you like George Clooney so much and you knew that he had herpes that you wanted.
I want to be just like him.
You so wanted his herpes.
Get me some George Clooney herpes.
Get some Clooney herpes. Stuff like that. That's in this kind of world where it's like celebrity viruses, you
weird.
Know. It is weird. But it's Son of Cronenberg. What do you expect? So it's supposed to be kind of gross and icky and horrific, but stylish and, you know. I want to see it. It got some good buzz at festivals and stuff. And finally, definitely the biggest DVD release of the week. Easily, for sure. One Direction, all the way to the top. A behind-the-scenes concert movie about X Factor finalists and now worldwide sensation. Well, you can take your knife out, Drew. You can first off, it's a podcast, so people can't see that you're actually wielding a knife, but you are. You can put it away.
How dare you bring One Direction into this podcast?
It's going to be huge. It's a big deal.
I'm going to cut your throat.
And there you go. That's what's new on DVD. Drew, you got the new theater releases?
Yeah, coming out this weekend, we've got Elysium, starring Matt Damon and Jodie Foster.
From Neil Blomkamp, South African director of District 9.
Correct.
Almost directed Halo.
Almost.
But then that plug got pulled, and all those resources got put into District 9. So this is his follow-up, giving him a little more money. I think it's like a $80 million budget, something like that.
Every time I see this trailer, I just can't wait for the movie to come out.
Great trailers. Good marketing.
Looks good.
Very exciting looking. Looking forward to it. We'll be talking about that next week, episode 31. What else we got?
Also coming out this weekend, we have Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
You know, I saw Percy
So did I.
The
Something Lightning Thief or whatever.
Something Lightning Thief or whatever, right? I think that's the exact title.
Uh-huh.
I stumbled across it on HBO.
Partway
into it, uh-huh. And I was just like, whatever.
Yep.
Kind of got sucked into it.
Hey, I was freshly baked, so.
Well, that'll do it. Perseus. Young Perseus.
Yes.
Young Percy. That's cool. There's a goat guy.
Yep.
There's
a girl who's kind of cute.
Stanley Tucci's in it. He's like a fawn type dude.
So it's Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan's a Minotaur type guy. And then this one, Sea of Monsters. Looking forward to Monsters in the Sea.
Yeah. Can't wait till it comes out on the HBO.
Looking forward to the HBO release of the next Percy Jackson movie. What else we got?
With Disney's Planes.
The spinoff of Cars.
Yes, in the same universe.
Planes. Weird.
So if you like Cars, go see Planes.
Someone put out a theory about how all Pixar movies exist in the same universe, and it's actually one long timeline and where all the movies affect each other.
Interesting.
And part of that timeline involves there being no more people on Earth.
Sentient machines,
cars and planes now and all that stuff, and all that stuff breaks down and all there's left is Wall-E and, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. And also, you know, the toys.
Yeah.
The sentience of toys and stuff like that. Just check that out. You can look that up online on Google if you're interested. The unifying theory of the Pixar universe. It's got a couple of holes, but it's
the unified fun. Pixar theory.
Right. What else we got?
Also, we have We're the Millers.
I know for a fact that comes out on Wednesday the 7th.
Good for them.
They're getting a jump. I wouldn't be surprised if Planes comes out on Wednesday also. Because it is the summer.
Yep.
Those families need something to do.
During them weeks.
Word of Millers looks like a R-rated comedy where they got Sudeikis plays a pot dealer.
Yep.
Right? And he gets hired to bring some smuggle pot from Mexico back into America.
Yep, by Ed Helms.
And he hires a bunch of people to be his family.
Yep, Jennifer Aniston's a stripper.
Some dude is his kid and some girl is the girl.
Yep.
And yeah. It looks like a movie.
Yes, it does.
There's dialogue in it. Looks like there's scenes.
It might be funny, and they're making light of drug smuggling.
Ha ha! Well, why not? That's funny.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Hysterical. I don't know. Might see this. We got a lot of choices. A lot of choices.
It's either going to be that or comes out of the red box.
Either going to be that or Percy Jackson. I don't know.
I'm just going to go see Elysium and call it a weekend.
Or Planes.
Like I said, go see Elysium, call it a weekend.
All right, well, let's take a break, get into the Crespo Disco. Got a couple songs, one of them recommended by Drew because he came across it. He wanted to hear it, so here we go. It's the band is Metric, right?
Correct.
You've been listening to these guys a lot?
Yeah, I don't know why. The last couple weeks, I've been hooked on it. And I came across one of their songs, and it was on a soundtrack. So
you realize it was from Scott Pilgrim?
Yes, sir. I heard the song, and I was like, wait a minute. This is Clash of Thunderhead.
Demon Head.
Oh.
Yeah, it came to me like in the middle of the night. I was like, Demon Head! And then I fell back asleep. Clash at Demon Head. So the band's called Metric. The name of the song is Black Sheep. Scott Pilgrim versus the World soundtrack. You'll enjoy that one. And then to follow that up with a little bit of The Kinks.
Nice.
Those are cool. Rushmore soundtrack. Nothing in this world can stop me. No, sir. Nothing in this world can stop me. So here we go. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the second half of episode 30 of Cinema Crespity City.
This is my new mop. George, my friend, he gave me this mop. It's a pretty good mop. It's not as good as my first mop. I miss my first mop. But this is still a good mop. Sometimes you just have to take what life gives you. Because life is like a mop. And sometimes life gets full of dirt and crud and bugs and hairballs and stuff. You gotta clean it out. You gotta put it in here and rinse it off and start all over again. And sometimes life sticks to the floor so bad. You know, a mop, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. You gotta get down there like with a toothbrush, you know? And you gotta really scrub. You gotta get it off. You gotta really try to get it off. But if that doesn't work, you can't give up. You gotta stand right up. You gotta run to a window and say, "Hey! These floors are dirty as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore!"
Met a girl, fell in love, glad as I can be. Met a girl, fell in love, glad as I can be. But I think all the time, is she true to me? 'Cause there's nothing in this world to stop me worrying about that girl. Found out I was wrong, she was just too timing. I found out I was wrong, she just kept on lying. Now she tries to tell the truth, and I just can't believe. 'Cause there's nothing in this world to stop me worrying about that girl. Tell me, who can I turn to, just who can I believe? I try to put her out of my mind, she'll only cause me grief. I love that girl, whatever she's done, you know it hurts me deeply. 'Cause there's nothing in this world can stop me worrying about that girl. I know she's been with other fellas, why she keep on lying? It hurts me so when she says nothing, I really feel I'd die. I ache inside every time I think, I know it's just my pride. 'Cause there's nothing in this world to stop me worrying about that girl. 'Cause there's nothing in this world to stop me worrying about that girl.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Yeah, welcome back to Cinema Crespo Dome, so episode 30.
XXX.
For you keeping up with the Roman numerals, that is episode triple X. This episode is extra large.
Extra erotic.
Extra sexy. Here we go. Let's get the plugs out of the way. ChrisCrespo.com, I already mentioned, please go there. Got reviews of stuff, movies, mostly movies, actually only movies. Should I start reviewing other stuff? Just start reviewing things?
Like what?
You tell me.
Soft drinks?
I don't know.
Tables.
Tables. Tupperwares.
Writing utensils.
Maybe I'll start reviewing things.
No, that'd be a terrible idea.
Or maybe I'll just stick to movies.
Yeah, just stick to movies.
So go to ChrisCrespo.com and check out my movie reviews, Netflix picks of the week of the past, as well as back episodes of CinemaCrespoDiso.com. You can also check out the show on Stitcher Radio, if that's your thing. If you prefer a Stitcher, you got us there. Where else are we on? Aircheck.us. There's a whole bunch of shows on that network, and we're one of them. You can check us out there.
The iTunes.
Good old iTunes. And on any of these, on Stitcher, on iTunes, if you get us there, please rate us. Leave a review. If that option is there, please utilize it. We would really, really appreciate that. And yeah, right?
Yeah.
So on Twitter.
Definitely.
I am Chris Crespo, at I am Chris Crespo. And the show is at Crespo Diso. Drew?
At Antihero419, same on Instagram.
Same in everything. On everything. Find them on Words with Friends.
I don't use that.
Draw something.
Don't use that either.
Man, come on, Drew.
Nope. Don't use that either.
And Cinema Crespo Diso on Facebook. Just Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. All right, we got all that out of the way. Drew, welcome back.
How's it going, dude?
We missed you last week, man.
Woo! I missed being here. Sunday was rough.
Well, yeah, you're traveling woes.
Sunday was rough.
Your flight was scheduled to leave at what?
Okay, so my flight was scheduled to leave LaGuardia Airport at 9 p.m., so...
And you actually left
I actually left at 2:40 a.m.
Nice, very nice. And then off to work.
Well, yeah, came home, slept for a little bit, and then went to work late.
Fantastic.
It was terrible.
Well, outside of from a horrible return trip, how was the time in New York City?
Oh, dude, New York was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I went up there. I saw our good friend of the show, our official correspondent, Billy D.
And show graphic artist, Billy D.
Yes, and show graphic artist, Billy D. Slept on his couch for a night. That was awesome.
Very cool. In Bushwick.
Yes, in Bushwick.
Bushwickville.
Saw all the graffiti around there. It's got a lot of really good graffiti in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Really good.
Yeah.
There was also a block party there.
Nice.
While I was there, like an actual block party.
Nice.
Like,
we can get one of those here.
There were so many people.
You want to get a block party going here?
No.
We'll get the HOA in on it.
Too many people at that block party. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
Did Dave Chappelle show up?
I don't think so.
Was it like Chappelle's block party?
Kind of.
That was a great movie.
Like, they had an entire part blocked off. There was a stage. There was music going on. People,
nice.
You know, ass on the elbow.
Nice.
It was... We just walked around and laughed at everybody in line.
Fantastic.
Because there was actually a line to get into the block party that wasn't moving.
Nice.
And it wrapped around the block.
That's ridiculous.
It was fantastic.
Oh, good job. Good job. Yeah. Good times. That was in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Spending time in Manhattan.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Billy works near Union Square, so went over there a little bit. Had the best sandwich of my life.
Oh, wow. At a place you don't remember?
A Chinese five-spice pork belly sandwich. Banh mi.
Do you remember where the place was?
What was
the name of it?
Num Pang or something like that? I forget. It was delicious, though.
Something like that. Hit up, if you're in the New York City area, you want to know where the sandwich is, hit up Drew, and he'll try to narrow it down for you. Or hit up Billy D at I Love Blood.
Yeah, hit up Billy D at I Love Blood. He's the one who showed me.
His Twitter name is at I Love Blood. Do not judge him, people. He is very nice.
He is. He's a very nice guy. He just happens to... Love blood.
And also, you verify that he is alive.
Yes, he is alive. I saw him.
He did not... When we recorded
last... It wasn't a hologram. I actually shook his hand.
When we recorded last week's episode, we didn't have a question from him. And then by the time the show was done, I had edited it down and everything, I got his question from last week.
Oh, His
question came in late.
Oh, slacking. It's because I was around.
I think so.
That's what it was.
You brought him down.
I did.
You also went to the Natural Museum History, right?
Yeah, went to the Natural History Museum.
You saw the Squid and the Whale exhibit?
Saw the Squid and the Whale.
That's another movie tie-in right there. It's actually three movie tie-ins. Because the first Natural Night at the Museum took place in the Natural History Museum.
Correct.
So you got Night at the Museum, Squid and the Whale. And what was the other one we already said? I forgot.
I don't remember.
And yeah, you saw a bunch of stuff at that museum and dinosaur bones.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. So you had a good time.
Yes, dinosaur bones.
And you saw some movies while you were up there.
Yes, I did. While I was hanging out with Bill, saw this movie called Grave Encounters on the Netflix.
Okay. Yeah, a horror film, I believe, because that's what Billy loves. His surname is I Love Blood, after all.
Yes.
And so what was Grave Encounters all about?
Grave Encounters was... It was like a found footage horror movie.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay. What's the horror? Grave Encounters? Sounds like Ghost Encounters.
Okay,
Ghost?
So like imagine if like Ghost Hunters.
Okay,
right?
It's Ghost
like
Hunters.
Those douchebags with the Affliction T-shirts and their stupid spiky hair
and their night vision cameras and stuff.
Okay, imagine if they actually found ghosts. Like, okay. Imagine if this place was, and it goes through the whole thing where, like, you know, in the beginning, like, the first 45 minutes is them just being douchey guys and, you know, paying people off to say, oh yeah, I saw a ghost over here, and it's all fake, and then they go through the stuff, and, you know, about, you know, maybe 3 or 4 quote-unquote hours into their experience, things start to go awry.
Oh boy. And the ghosts are real.
Yes. Oh man. Not only the ghosts are real, but the whole place is freaking haunted.
So, you enjoyed it? Did you like it?
It was fun. You know, I'm not really into the horror genre, but I liked it because of the way it was done.
You like the found footage way?
Like, the found footage was done really well, too. So, like, if this movie had been on Sci-Fi, and you would have turned it on without knowing anything, you'd have been like, oh, look at these douchebags and this, you know, Ghost Hunters ripoff. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see what they're doing.
Right.
And then things get crazy.
And then we'd be like, oh, the real ghosts.
Oh, man. Oh, by the way, the name of the place is Numpang. N-U-M space P-A-N-G. There are three locations.
Three locations. You went to the one by Union Square.
By Union Square. And it was delicious.
Numpang.
They have the best Chinese 5-spice pork belly banh mi on the face of the earth.
There you go, people. Our New York City listeners, go check it out because we do have a bunch of them.
Our
second most amount of downloads come from New York City.
Oh, good for them. Also, if they haven't, there's also a barbecue place called Fet Sao that they should check out. It's quite delicious as well.
Fet Sao is some Italian guy?
Fet Sao. F-E-T-T-E space S-A-U.
Oh, okay. Right on. So check it out.
It's delicious.
So Grave Encounters was cool. It was all right.
It was fun.
Check it out on Netflix if you're into
definitely.
That type of stuff.
Yeah.
What else did you see?
I saw Only God Forgives.
Only God Forgives, okay. Well,
which actually...
We can talk about that. Yes, we can talk about some Only God Forgives.
Because
we both watched it.
We watched that last night here as well.
All right. So, what were your first impressions of Only God Forgives when you first saw it?
First impressions, it was really pretty.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very, very nicely shot.
It's very pretty. The cinematography was gorgeous.
Right.
The
production design.
I really liked the oversaturation of colors.
A lot of reds.
Lots of reds. Lots of blues.
A lot of whites in some scenes. Yeah.
In the beginning, I wasn't quite sure what had happened because it's not. We'll have to get back to this.
Table the Only God Forgives conversation because. Time for some Juicy Cogman versus the World.
Oh man, you know I missed this last week.
You did miss it. And last week, what we did, I actually gave DJ Ed Shuffles, Mr. Ed.
Yes.
He sat in for you. He was our co-host. And what I did with him for Juicy Cogman versus the World, I actually gave him two games instead of like two rounds of one game, one round of two games. So we did an old game and a new one. I want you to play that new game.
Okay.
So I got new answers, but it's a game I played last week with Ed.
Okay.
And I have, again, two different games, but one round each of two games. We'll just add it all up together. So what do you want first? Do you want the new game or do you want the old one?
Let's go with the new first.
All right. The new one that we played last week is called Jet, Jackie, or Gene. I'm going to give you a movie title. You tell me, is it a Jet Li movie, a Jackie Chan movie, or a Gene Hackman movie? Yes.
Okay.
All right, so I got five movies. Here you go. Ready? Number one, Once Upon a Time in China.
Jackie Chan.
That is incorrect. That is a Jet Li movie. Actually, a whole franchise. It's made like five of them or something like that. Number two, Uncommon Valor.
Gene Hackman.
That is Gene Hackman. Very good. Number three, Crime Story.
Jackie Chan.
That was Jackie Chan. All right. Number four, Fist of Legend.
Jet Li.
All right, that's correct. And number five, Dragon Strike.
Jet Li.
Incorrect. That is Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan. Well, you got three right. So three right, two wrong. Not too bad. Not too bad for that round. You got the Gene Hackman one. So that's good.
Uncommon Valor. I was like, oh, it totally could be.
Anyone. And the last one, what was the other Gene Hackman one? No Way Out. Oh, that could be anyone. That could be anyone.
Yeah, it could be.
All right, here we go. Round two, your next game. Which made more? the Two Guns edition.
Pow, dos pistoles.
Here we go. And actually, I only have half the game set up, so it's only going to be two questions.
Awesome. And an abridged version.
An abridged version. We got a lot to talk about, so it's not like these are only sparring rounds anyway. Which made more, John Q or Crimson Tide?
Crimson Tide.
All right, John Q made $71 million, whereas Crimson Tide made $91 million. Good job, Drew. And which made more, Unstoppable or Man on Fire?
Man on Fire.
All right, Unstoppable made $81 million. Man on Fire made $77 million. So that's a split. That puts you at 4-3. And hey, can you take a guess how much Devil in a Blue Dress made?
35.
16 million dollars. So there you go. A little bit of Drew Secogren versus the world. See, yeah, you missed the week, but he actually did pretty good. Maybe the week
not
off.
Not so bad.
I think the week off did you well. Now we got to get some people in here to, what are you at? You're at 4-5. We got to get you back to 500, buddy.
Yeah, quick.
Got to do some training. All right, here we go. Back to Only God Forgives. So it was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. It was pretty, but...
Story-wise.
The narrative structure is odd.
It's a weird... It's simple. It's a simple story-ish.
It's kind of a story. It's the minor stuff. Like, in some scenes, like, even in the same scene, in between cuts, like, his shirt changes.
Right.
So, like, I'm not, like, which one's the fantasy, which one's the reality?
Well, yeah, it usually goes between a white shirt and a black shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So.
Sometimes it could just be flashbacks, some thinking about something that happened.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then there's some other, and then there's some really weird stuff that goes on in the movie.
Oh,
like,
plenty of weird stuff. Like, it's loaded with weird stuff.
Like, oh, man. Like, I can't talk about it because I don't want to give stuff away. But I mean,
yeah, we don't want to give stuff away.
It was weird.
It is weird.
It was weird. And I'm a fan of Refn and I'm a fan of his work. But even so, it was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked it.
I wasn't sure if... See, that's what I was saying when I first saw it. I was like, I liked it.
Yeah, but...
I mean, it's no Drive.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously. I understand why people wouldn't like it. I get it.
Yeah,
you know, it's heavy on symbolism and just trying to get the mood and ambience across. It's mm-hmm. more like a feeling than it's about a story.
Yeah, definitely.
I felt like because the whole place it was in Bangkok, right? The whole thing was in Bangkok in Thailand. I felt like this Bangkok was like it's like the doorway to hell almost. Like it was all very much like they're like right on the outskirts of hell and. Then this dude, the cop guy going around, he's like the like a Grim Reaper or an avenging angel or like something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Maybe not quite the devil himself, but I don't know, something like that. I only saw it once, but there's definitely stuff that he could read into it.
Oh yeah,
but it's not gonna like just offer you anything.
No.
You know, you have to like dig around a little to get something out of it.
I mean, it is a revenge story.
Yeah, it's a revenge story, but between people, like, you don't... They're all horrible people. The nicest person in the movie is the prostitute, and all she does is keep her mouth shut. Everyone else is like...
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling barely says anything. What he does is like, man, this character, I don't know about this
character. Yeah, he is definitely a piece of work.
Also very quiet.
Yes.
Very quiet.
Has, like, but, 10 lines the whole movie.
But it's like Drive. In Drive, he barely has any dialogue either.
Yeah.
Outside of his little speeches. You know, about the, but you got me for 5 minutes, you know.
Blah, 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 blah.
I drive, that whole thing.
Yeah,
so it's, man, it's all right. It's interesting. I want to see it again.
It's definitely where
I would like to watch it again.
I like it even more watching it a second time.
So yeah, I think that helps. It gives you a chance.
Definitely.
Because, you know, the first time watching, you really don't know what's going to happen or what to expect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely want to see it again before I write about it.
Oh, definitely.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So
100%.
The Only God Forgives written review is gonna take a little while. In the meantime, you can trouble yourself with my Upstream Color review.
No,
I forgot to mention that. It's about 5,000 words trying to figure out what that movie's about. And I think I scratched the surface on it. So go ahead and read that. Maybe leave a comment about it. So Grave Encounters, okay, check it out on the Netflix, you say.
It's on the Netflix Instant.
Only God Forgives is now on VOD. If it's playing in a theater near you, maybe go check it out. Or would you say people should wait? What would you say?
It all depends on what how you are about movies.
I think if
you're into kind of depressing, really weird arty films, then go see it in theaters.
Okay,
by all means.
Sure.
If that's not quite your cup of tea, then, you know, see it in the luxury of your own home.
In the luxury of your own on the VOD, or just wait for when it comes out on Redbox.
Yeah, yeah.
And it flummoxes the good people of America because they have no idea what to expect.
Exactly.
And what's the third movie you saw? Something about
the Europa Report.
And what is that?
I'm not even sure, like, when it comes out. I'm not sure if it's going to come out in theaters. I have no idea.
And it's
basically...
sounds like a documentary.
Yeah, kind of. It's a docudrama of sorts. Another kind of found footage type deal where a private company sends a group of astronauts to one of Jupiter's moons, Europa, to see if there's life there.
Okay.
And all of the craziness that ensues on the, you know, obviously the trek there, and then once they get there, what happens if they're... you're looking for life. What happens if you find it, Chris?
Interesting.
It's an interesting little movie.
And who's in it?
The dude from District 9. And
Sharto Copley?
Yes, he's in it. And a whole bunch of other no-name nobodies.
An international crew of astronauts undertakes a privately funded mission to search for life on Jupiter's fourth largest moon. An hour and a half. Release date, August 2nd. August 2nd. Is that when you were there? What is August
2nd? Nope. That's I think it's today, actually.
So
yesterday.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
Yeah. Apparently, I saw it before it was released.
And you said it's what did you say?
It was a fun little movie. I mean, I think I would have liked to have seen it in theaters.
Yeah, but you didn't.
No, I didn't. I saw it on a giant projector, 720p.
720p. 720p.
And it's not bad for our...
what is this, 2002?
It's not bad for a projector smaller than that Avidbox you have.
Yeah. Don't be talking about the size of my Avidbox.
It weighs like half a pound.
It'll be...
on some dude's wall in Brooklyn.
Good for that dude's wall in Brooklyn. All right, so those are the three you checked out in New York.
Yes.
All right, cool. Cool, good stuff. All right, so we got some movie news. Real quick, Oscars... coming up.
Oscars already?
February 2014.
Good lord.
Is that September, October, November, December? It's, 6 months away.
I have so many video games in between now and then.
6 months away. They announced the host for the next Oscars.
And the winner is?
Ellen DeGeneres. Her second time hosting. Very, very boring choice, I think.
Very bland.
But, you know, that's what I think. Seth MacFarlane kicked up a little dust last year.
It was good, though. It was actually worth watching.
I thought it was worth watching, but, you know, a little bit of controversy. So they went with someone who, in the past, already gave them a solid, you know, just slightly edgy, but not really that edgy performance. You know, she's a good host. She knows what she's doing. So there you go. Ellen DeGeneres. Next host. It'll be all right. She's funny. I mean, it's an award show. It's going to be a stuffy award show no matter what you do. They got a new director for the Scarface remake, because they're remaking Scarface again.
Oh, are they?
And the director right now attached to it is David Yates, who directed the last four Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
So this is going to be his follow-up to Harry Potter. Scarface.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird? Kind of strange, right?
Well, I mean, I guess this Harry Potter movie started to get dark at the end, but
because of the books, I guess.
Scarface, really?
Yeah. You know, Scarface itself, the Al Pacino one, is a remake. You know, they made that movie a couple times already.
Uh-huh.
You remember there was rumors of a Flash movie coming out of Comic-Con?
Yes, there was.
Those rumors have been cleared up.
Oh,
DC and Warner Brothers announce Flash will be introduced via the CW show Arrow. And they'll introduce the character on that show, and then they're going to have a spin-off show, and Flash will have his own TV show along with Green Arrow's apparently very successful show, which they finished her first season of Arrow.
If you say so.
I had no idea it was on TV.
I had no idea either.
I imagine it's probably a lot like Smallville.
Yeah, which was god-awful.
And that's what they're doing with Flash. So that's how they're doing their Justice League, guys.
Through television. And then they're going to take the TV guys and make them movie stars?
Ugh. And then they're going to take Superman and Batman and put them together in one movie and kill two birds with one stone right there. Because if they make a bad Batman and Superman movie.
And then, what, after that, they're going to push it to television?
Ooh. Yeah. Terrible. Terrible, if you ask me. And no one did, but those are my 2 cents.
Yeah.
We got an edition of the Crespo Film School. I wanted to do this real quick. We're going to, for a little while now, film school entries will be about David Fincher. I want to go through his whole catalog from beginning to end.
Yeah, we already started.
So we started with Alien 3.
Alien 3.
Alien Cubed, because that was his first film he did for Fox. Had a horrible experience. He actually walked off during post-production, and Fox had to, they edited the movie and finished it without him. We saw the special edition,
yes,
which had a lot of stuff reinserted, a lot of stuff that was in the script and that was shot but not used in a theatrical cut, reinserted. David Fincher had nothing to do with it.
But it's his cut, apparently.
Well, it's just a special edition director's cut. It's not a director's cut. It's just a special edition version. And it's really, there's this whole religious subplot that they cut out. And there's this whole entire, like, 10-minute sequence where they actually capture the alien and it's caught and then they let it go. Like, someone lets it go.
Yeah.
Now, that's crazy that they cut all that out. You know, it's pretty wild. You can definitely tell it's a David Fincher movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's got the style.
It's all dark.
The angles.
Yeah.
You know.
Not a lot of light going on.
It's...
Things are in the shadows.
For an alien movie, it's good. It's like they went back more to the horror. Because, like, the first one's like a horror movie, and the second one's more like an action movie. Kind of horror, but more action. Third one is like they went back to horror. A lot of people are pissed about how that movie starts with the most of the characters being just killed off.
Yeah, real fast.
Like the girl, Newt, and yep. Michael Biehn's character, they're all just... The movie starts with them dead. A lot of people hate that.
Well, screw them.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, whatever. Just the movies. Get over it, people. Right? It was... I don't know.
It's all right.
It's my third favorite Alien movie.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, for an Alien movie, it's no Alien.
It's all right. It's no Alien. No.
It's not Ridley Scott.
It's not as good as Aliens.
It's not James Cameron.
But he had a lot of interference from Fox. He had a big problem with them. So maybe who knows how much that affected him making the movie and not being able to make the Alien movie that he wanted to make. Maybe he didn't have that much say at that time. He was just
some guy
who made music videos for Madonna and stuff. You know, could he make a whole movie? Pff, I don't know. We're gonna find out.
Yeah.
So it was okay.
It was bad.
It was all right. That's how we're starting the David Fincher portion of the Crespo Diesel Film School.
Next up
would be The Game.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. So we'll watch The Game at some point, and then that'll be our next Crespo Diesel Film School.
Sweet.
All right. So you can play along at home. At home, check out Alien 3. I got it at my local library.
Nice.
For free.
Awesome.
That's hey.
$0.
Crespo Diesel tip of the day. Libraries have movies, and they're free.
Awesome.
There you go. So check out Alien 3, and let us know what you think. If you already have your opinion formed, screw it. Screw your opinion. Rewatch the movie with brand new eyes.
And form a new opinion.
And if it's the same opinion, then, you know, so what? You didn't grow. Then that's on you, buddy. Or lady. Because we're not sexist here. Try not to be. We are a little bit. All right, so we got a bunch of questions. At Matt Celery, I said last week, he gave me a whole bunch of Crespo Dome battles. So we're going to use this Crespo Dome battle. He wants us to do Wesley Snipes versus Vin Rames.
Oh, man.
So which one, first off, is a better actor, Wesley Snipes or Vin Rames?
Wesley Snipes.
I would have to say Snipes. I mean, he's just done more movies.
Hands down.
Vin Rames is good.
But he's no leading man.
He is not a leading man. He's a character actor. His best movie is probably in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
You know, Wesley Snipes, you talk about Blade.
Yeah.
You know, Murder at 1600.
Yeah.
You know, Drop Zone.
Yeah.
Passenger 57.
Yeah.
That's just the 90s. He did a bunch of movies in the 80s. Wildcats.
Yeah.
Major League.
Ooh.
That was good.
Yeah.
Still good.
Yeah.
He's going to be in Expendables 3. Vin Rames. He was in Pulp Fiction.
And a whole bunch of other movies that he was in for like 2 seconds.
Oh, Vin. We like Vin.
Oh, I love Vin.
Vin's a nice guy. Vin, if you want to be on the show one day, we'd love to have you on. We'll give you a swag bag and everything. But we'll definitely go with Wesley Snipes on the acting front there.
Yeah, 100%.
And then in a fight.
Well, that depends on what generation we're talking about.
Right now. They're going to fight right now, today.
They're going to fight right now, today. Man. Ooh, I'm pretty sure Wesley's been out of shape. Vin's just a big guy.
Vin's a big guy. I think Vin's a little older. Wesley's, is he out of shape? He was just in prison for a couple years, man, on tax evasion. What else does he have to do? Just sit-ups, pull-ups, lift weights?
Yes.
Get that out. Spit that one out.
Lift weights.
He had plenty of time to stay buff. And he's out now.
Man.
I'm going to go. And plus, he knows like karate and stuff.
And stuff.
He does.
Well, because of the end stuff, I'm going to go with Wesley Snipes.
All right, Wesley Snipes. So we agree on that one. Wesley Snipes for both acting and fighting. At Matt Celery also has another question. What is your trilogy saga? Movie saga. Favorite trilogy or movie saga?
Man.
I might have to go with maybe the Rocky saga. Because even though Rocky IV is not a very good movie, I know a lot of people are like, well, Rocky IV, that's a Russian one. Yeah. Guys, I know. It's fun. It's cool. Dolph Lundgren, I Must Break You. The montage of training in the snow with the axe and the logs. And it's cool. We get it. Rocky killed the USSR. Objectively speaking, Rocky IV is not a good movie. Rocky V is even worse.
Yeah.
But it all comes around with Rocky Balboa. So... I might have to go with the Rocky movies. Either that or the Ernest movies, and talk about a film series that went downhill quickly.
Oh, man, so quick.
But I'll take those first three, maybe even the fourth one. I'll take Ernest Scared Stupid, which is awful, but I'll take it. Hope you guys weren't expecting answers like The Godfather and shit like that, because that's not how we roll on Cinema Crest with Issa. And Drew's thinking...
Man.
He's thinking. I'm going to keep spitting stuff out while I was thinking. Actually, Back to the Future is...
The Back to the Future
series. If I'm
going
to go obvious, Back to the Future might be one
really
of my...
Really good.
Yeah.
It's a great series.
I do love Back to the Future.
I mean, the Lord of the Rings series is...
Lord of the Rings?
Is great. I would throw the obvious Star Wars out there, but I can't... But half of them half of them I have completely disavowed.
Right.
So...
Just
on merit alone, 50% of them being garbage, I can't necessarily put them up there.
Okay, fair enough. Well, if we're going to go by that criteria, I couldn't keep the Ernest movies in the equation. Because he made like 8 of those. Only 3 of them are
watchable.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, I almost said good. But I'll stick with watchable. The Superman movies, they're fun. I enjoy Superman's 1, 2, and 3. Even though 3 is, again, objectively an awful film.
The Batman franchise gets comical after a while.
Batman has its ups and downs historically.
Yes.
You know, many ups and downs as a matter of fact.
So does the Spider-Man franchise.
Okay, so now we're just talking about just comic book movies.
Well, these are franchise films.
They are these modern day franchise movies. That's true. That is true. There's the Alex Cross franchise, which is Along Came a Spider, Kiss the Girls, and then Alex Cross starring Tyler Perry. That's not a very good one. James Bond.
Yeah, the Bond series.
Bond series is good.
The Highlander series is okay.
Drew's a fan of the Highlander series.
I like
series.
The Highlander stuff. The second one's really weird.
The Quickening.
They're aliens.
There's a lot of things get
so strange.
Things get quickened. a lot of quickenings.
If the Highlander was around, I would have quickening insurance like nobody's business, dude. Those quickenings are really destructive. Like my State Farm agent would come out and I'd be like, "Do you guys offer quickening insurance? Because I'm gonna need some."
Then here comes Christopher Lambert with a
No, I need it now.
What else we got? That's a lot of franchises. That's a lot of trilogies.
There are.
A lot of sagas.
Uh-huh.
Sagas. Okay. I guess that's good enough. He has another question. Matt Sullery hit us up with a lot. Sequels that are better than the originals. Do they exist, even? Can he name a sequel that is better than the original? I know a lot of people like Terminator 2 more than the first Terminator. I would actually put those almost on the same level as each other. Like, Terminator 2 is not a letdown in any way. A lot of people like Aliens more than Alien. Yeah. I like Alien more just because it's like the rare horror film that I actually enjoy. So that I'm going to go with that route.
My second one's better.
Empire Strikes Back, I think, is better than Star Wars. I like my favorite Indiana Jones is Temple of Doom, and that's the second one.
Yeah, I would agree on both those.
I said earlier X-Men 2 I like more than X-Men.
I can't agree with you.
You can't agree with you on that.
The Wolverine series.
Wolverine, if you want to make that one to X-Men Origins, Wolverine. Spider-Man 2 over Spider-Man. Doc Ock. The Doc Ock one. I actually like that one.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
What else is there? The Dark Knight over Batman Begins.
Yes.
Yep.
100%.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, hell, even Batman Returns over Batman.
Yeah, it's a better movie. It's a better movie. It's barely a Batman movie.
Well, yeah, it's more Tim Burton than Batman.
Yeah,
Batman. But the first one was still directed by Burton, and that was more Batman than Burton.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Batman's barely in the second one. It's like plenty of villains.
It's awesome.
A little bit of Bruce Wayne.
It's so awesome.
No Batman.
It's one of the rare things I like Danny DeVito in.
Really, you're not a Danny DeVito?
Not really.
Yeah, really?
No.
Death of Smoochie?
No.
Twins?
Oh, Death of Smoochie was fun.
Twins?
Twins is...
Throw a mama from the train?
Yeah.
With Billy Crystal? Get Shorty? He played Shorty. He was Shorty. He was the one they were trying to get. Okay. Something new. We learned something new. Drusa Cogburn, not a fan of Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Spread that out there on Twitter. Someone, if Danny DeVito's on Twitter,
it's weird.
Let him know that Drusa Cogburn's not a fan.
Antihero 419 is not a fan.
Not a fan outside of Death of Smoochie, apparently. Which Danny DeVito directed?
And
Taxi?
And Batman.
Taxi? And Batman. Yes, Batman Returns. Don't forget the Batman Returns.
Awesome,
Batman whole point
Returns.
Of that conversation. So there's a whole bunch of sequels. Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Rarely, but it does happen.
It happens. Mr. Nadathon on Twitter, at Mr. Nadathon, wants us to do a Crestodome battle. Christian Bale versus Hugh Jackman. Talking all about Hugh Jackman. Right,
so, like I said, are we talking like nowadays? Like right now, this instant?
This instant.
This instant?
This instant.
Okay.
And if we're talking about, first as in a fight, or let's fight first.
That's what I'm saying, because I just saw the American Hustle trailer. With Mr. Christian Bale
looks like he went method for that one and put on a little weight.
A little weight. He is a little bit over 70s fit,
and
which is appropriate for the movie set in the 70s.
For the movie.
But he is a fat lardo in this one.
Meanwhile,
Hugh Jackman's just ripped.
He's just coming off the Wolverine super ripped diet.
Actually,
he went to get his physique for the Wolverine. He called up The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. He was like, "What do you do, man?" And Dwayne Johnson gave him this crazy diet, and now the reserve. Yeah, unfortunately, I have to go.
Unfortunately, going to have to go with Hugh in the actual fight.
Australian versus Welshman.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Aussie on that one.
Yep.
As for acting,
man,
that's a tough one now.
It is.
They're both great actors.
Both really good. And I just actually came to realize that one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Yes.
Was starring Christian Bale.
Empire of the Sun.
Newsies.
Oh, yeah, Newsies.
Loved that movie when I was a kid. Christian Bale plays the freaking lead.
It would have been funny if your favorite movie as a kid was Empire of the Sun.
No. That would have been funny, though.
That would have been odd. Yeah, that's right. He's in Newsies. Yeah, yeah. Is that silly?
He's the lead.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Hugh Jackman, when he was a kid, I think he was singing and dancing on street corners in Australia, in Brisbane, or wherever the frick he's from. Man, they're both really good actors. I mean, I would. I'm gonna have to. They both got into.
I don't know who wins in
comic book movies.
Who wins in The Prestige?
Who's a better actor in The Prestige?
No, who wins in The Prestige?
I guess Batman, you could say Batman wins in that one, because Wolverine's the one that dies. Spoiler: Wolverine's the one that dies at the end of The Prestige.
So many times. So many
If you just want to break it down to that movie, since they're both in that movie, and we can just use that as an example of which one's the better
Wolverine.
Actor, Batman versus Wolverine as magicians at the turn of the century.
Even Alfred's in the movie.
Alfred's in the movie, but working for the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman is a slightly better actor.
In that movie?
In that movie. So I'm going to say, overall, Hugh Jackman is a slightly better actor. That's where I'm going with that one. Hugh Jackman.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go with Christian Bale.
You're going with Christian Bale, so we're going to go splits on that one.
Because he had to play two people.
Yeah, but twins, they're the same. Two people.
But they were different.
But they're the same.
They were different.
Hugh Jackman had to play a whole bunch of people.
David Bowie only had to play Nikolai Tesla.
David Bowie only had to be David Bowie.
Magnificent bastard.
The Prestige is a great movie.
God, it's so good.
At Mike 7 Deuce, Crespo Dome battle, Johnny 5 versus Wall-E.
Oh, man.
So, which is the better actor? Johnny 5 from Short Circuit or Wall-E?
And you know what? Wall-E. You know what? Props go to Wall-E, because he couldn't even talk. and he was a better actor than Johnny Five was. Mm. And Johnny Five could talk.
I didn't even think about that. He can't talk. He just is Wally.
Yeah.
I was going to say Johnny Five because Wally's animated. Johnny Five's an actual thing on a set. So technically it's actually doing acting, sort of, or a puppeteer is working it.
Yes.
But there is no... Yeah, they found a way to make Wally more expressive without words.
Without words. Like, no. He only says Wally and he barely says that.
But in a battle, Johnny Five's going to roll over Wally all day.
So much bigger.
So much bigger.
And
he has a laser gun.
And he's got a laser gun. Even though he's a pacifist, he's still armed to the teeth.
Badass weapons grade laser gun. Yep. So Johnny Five wins in a battle.
Yes.
Wally's the better.
Wally's definitely the better actor.
Okay. We're in agreement on that one. And, hey, so you know what? Bitching about it earlier, saying he was slacking. But we got a question.
Billy D.
From Billy D. His question this week for episode 30. I know James Cameron doesn't do what James Cameron does for anyone other than James Cameron. But seriously, 3 more Avatar movies? Why? Can't we just get 1 sequel to Pacific Rim instead? Billy D. So yeah, it's been announced that James Cameron is... Originally, he was going to do Avatar 2 and 3.
Yes.
Now he's doing Avatars 2, 3, and 4. At one point, shortly after they did Avatar, he did say that he could spend the rest of his life only making Avatar movies and just telling more stories set in that universe.
Why?
I don't know. It sounds awful to me. Yeah. I mean, dude does sequels pretty well. Terminator 2 is great. Aliens is a sequel.
I was looking forward to Avatar 2, but knowing that there's 3 and 4 behind it makes me not want to see it so much.
It's so much Avatar. So much of his life.
I don't care about these blue people.
I really don't care. Really don't. Man, he's going to have to make us care about him. Maybe Avatar 2 will be better. Maybe it'll be like the Empire Strikes Back at Avatar World.
It better be.
Yeah, I'm not a... I would rather see a Pacific Rim sequel.
Oh, I would, all day, every day.
Any more Avatars. Yes. Let alone 3 more Avatars.
Correct.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yes, I will definitely trade all 3 Avatar sequels for 1 Pacific Rim.
What are you going to do?
Gladly.
So we saw a couple of trailers today. I want to talk about these trailers before we get out of here. You mentioned already the American Hustle trailer.
Yes.
That's a new David O. Russell.
Yes.
His last movie was Silver Linings Playbook.
With Mr. Bradley Cooper, who he's using again.
And Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
And then the movie before that was The Fighter with Christian Bale and Amy Adams.
Who are both
of
this
are also in this movie.
Okay, so he's taking his last 2 movies and putting them together.
David Fincher is getting all the people he likes to work with. He added Jeremy Renner.
Uh-huh.
To the mix. And
yes,
it's all about the ab scam scandals of the 70s. And go ahead and Google that. You know, do your own research, people. We're not here to tell you about everything in the world. Just movie stuff. It comes out Christmas Day.
It's going to be
so
good.
So Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas to Drew, Fat Christian Bale.
Fat Christian Bale with a horrible comb over.
Oh, yeah.
Bradley Cooper with a perm.
Oh, horrible perm.
Yeah, it looks like David O. Russell's... The trailer really doesn't tell you much. It's just like these guys are con men. The trailer looks like his version of like 1970s Goodfellas or something like that. You know, looks like fun. I definitely say check it out, people. Check out that trailer. Then the other trailer we saw, which gives it even less information.
The Counselor.
The Counselor. Ridley Scott's The Counselor.
It looks so freaking crazy.
It's got Michael Fassbender, Penelope Cruz.
Cameron Diaz. Brad Pitt.
Javier Bardem. It's written by Cormac McCarthy.
Yes.
It's his first screenplay. He's been writing books forever. Most recently, The Road and No Country for Old Men, which were both made into movies. And
looks intense. I'm sorry. You get Ridley Scott and Cormac McCarthy together with all those actors that we just said.
Yeah.
And I'm just like... Give me this movie now.
It looks intense, so we'll...
Right now, I want it.
The Counselor. Check out that trailer and check out the trailer for American Hustle. I think we might have to do some sort of like fall movie guide. Like we did a summer movie guide. We might have to do like a fall movie guide because that's...
Sounds good.
And
I like it.
Going all the way up to Christmas and all the like the Oscar contenders and stuff like that. And then we can really...
These 2... Oh, man. American Hustle and The Counselor are definitely Oscar contenders.
Yeah, they're going to be positioned as such for sure. And then when they come out, then we'll see what actually happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Check out those trailers, guys. And there you go. So, that's it. That's episode 30 of Cinema Crespo D. So, thank you very much for listening, Drew. It's been fun.
Yes, it has.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
And remember, people, rate us 5 stars and write reviews wherever you're listening. Stitcher, iTunes, whatever you're doing. Tell your friends, tell your family, share it with everyone. Tell your kids, download it for them on their iPod and then send them off to school. Actually, it's summer right now.
Make them listen to it.
Send them off to summer school.
Force it down their throats.
Force it down their fucking throats. I'll bleep that out. No, I won't. So there you go. That's episode 30. Thank you very much, guys. We'll be back next week with episode 31. This train ain't stopping, right?
Right.
Nope. We'll be back with some Elysium talk.
I mean, unless we lose power or something.
Unless we lose power for good. A tornado could come and just wipe this place off.
Yeah,
get rid of the studio.
Yeah. I mean, the Great Flood could happen again.
The Great Flood. Just like the Great Flood of 1941. The Great Flood of 1941 in Maitland. Google that.
Yes.
A lot of Googling. Google the Great Flood of Maitland, 1941. Safe search off. And have a great day. Thank you.